Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
Yeah, that's like the house chore part of it is overwhelming sometimes when you're busy at work. And then, you know, I feel bad for the people that have kid responsibilities. My kids have birthdays. Actually, I have a child turning 32.
Not possible.
Yeah. They're 5 years and 5 days apart from each other. So 32 and 27 in the next week. And I still feel overwhelmed.
Yeah, I had family staying with me this last week, and the 2-year-old, I don't have kids, and they are a handful. So I have much respect for all the moms out there that
those mamas that have the wee one, right?
Yep.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us. We're gonna give it just a couple of seconds here for people to roll in today, and then we will get going. Yeah, we have our team. I don't know if you were, I know that Green State was part of TMC. I don't know if you remember it. It was about 2 years ago. We went through a baby boom where I think we had six babies and at that point we had 13 team members, and there were six babies born. Kind of like one person would go out and another one would have one. it was our own little baby boom here. So
TMC in Nashville, I was asking Ryan, because I know she's got kiddos, and we were just like, oh my gosh, the fact that they're growing up, it feels like, you know, we get to watch that, and it's fun.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. I'm the like fill-in grandma for all of them. And with that, we'll get going here today. Thanks for joining us, everyone. This is the last week in Mortgage Today. I am Faith Howard Mooney, the VP of Member Engagement at the Mortgage Collaborative, and I have with me Nathan Seifer, who is the VP of Mortgage Lending at Green State Credit Union, and I got your name right. So,
sure did.
How are you today, Nathan?
I'm doing very well. Always good to see you, Faith.
Good to see you, too. Share with us a little bit about Green State so everybody who's on the call can kind of get a frame of reference of where you're coming from.
Yeah, so Green State Credit Union, largest credit union in the state of Iowa. So we're Iowa-based out of the eastern part with a large mortgage operation. So a quarter of our employees of the credit union are in the mortgage team. So we have about 1,000 employees, a quarter being mortgage. So a large piece of our organization here. I manage our Iowa sales team. So as we're going into the year end here, Faith, really for 2024, it's business planning right now. That's something that, you know, I feel like we sort of dusted off coming into the new year here, 2023. Now that we're at the tail end of it, it's even more important. Again, I think our team has seen what a year it's been. And so really trying to make sure that they are being intentional. It's kind of our word for 2024 is intentionality with connecting with your partners, being engaged, helping our members achieve their goals in this market that we're in.
Wow. And some of them, you know, I don't know. I know you guys, you know, you have a lot of long-term employees. You've been around for a while and those types of things. But some people in our industry just have never, well, none of us have ever experienced what we have going on right now, right? Even though we always say it's a cycle, this is like a different one. Definitely not the same how it's been in the past. And so, you know, I imagine that people, even if they've been in it for a while, it's almost like you have to rethink everything that you've done to try to figure out what works now.
Yeah. And that's, you know, as we're going into the end of the year, putting together some lender panels. So connecting our team with others that are, you know, we're all spread out across the state, different markets. And so kind of sharing best practices, we brought together kind of our top performers in some marketing pieces, people that use different sales techniques, 2-1 buy downs and buy downs in general, and brought them together to share, hey, here's what I'm doing. Here's what's worked for me. May not resonate with everyone on the team, but just to help them kind of get that brain churning going into the year that, hey, this is something maybe I want to try. People are getting into videos. I'm loving seeing, I hopped on LinkedIn and I see 3 or 4 of my loan officers I work with. They've got videos out there sharing some, you know, surprises that come up or great techniques for realtors. So it is fun seeing them try these different things in this market.
Well, and it's good that they're embracing those. For those of you that are on, if you haven't experienced it, we also have launched some classes within our TMC learning hub, and a lot of them are business development relationship. There's one out there about creating your own business plan. People don't have a business plan in an environment like this. You probably should have a formal one, you know, at this point. So if you need any assistance with that, just make sure your member benefits advocate within TMC knows, and we can get you connected on some of those things as well. It sounds like you have your team moving in the right direction. There's a lot of stuff going on, I feel like, kind of right now here at year end. Who knows? I feel like it's the boy that cried wolf, whether we'll have a shutdown or not. There's a lot of that going on my TV over here today that I have on in the background. We'll see kind of what happens there. But one of the things that's happened in the last couple of weeks is the whole real estate agent commission structure that I think we all know there are going to be some changes going on there. But I would just love to hear what you're hearing from your people related to that.
Yeah. So, I mean, realtor partners, they're obviously, they're all watching this very closely, that the lawsuit out of Kansas City with NAR and a couple of other large brokers out in the market. I think one of the things that we've, as we're talking to our realtor partners, that they're talking about is that commission piece, that, you know, sellers may not be on the hook for both the buyer and seller side. And that'd be a really big change in our world, that all of a sudden a buyer is on the hook for the real estate services piece. And realtors are such a crucial piece of making accessibility possible. I mean, they're the ones out, you know, with the listings, out taking our members out to showings and that. And so to put the buyer on the hook for that cost, that's a big shift out there in the market. I think it'll be interesting to watch that space. We're seeing our brokers kind of start to prepare it. They're sharing some information out to us saying, hey, this is kind of what's coming, what we're seeing. But again, really staying engaged with them as we go into the new year will be, I think, really critical to partner well with them.
I absolutely agree with that. One of the things that I think I mentioned to you before we started on the call here today that we were talking about on this call last week is also, you know, if that becomes a buyer's fee, what does that do for our, you know, individuals that are having challenges with affordability, you know, at this point? Or if commissions become negotiable to some degree, does that mean that it's like there's a group of people that are kind of left out of that equation now because of the perceived idea that they would want to negotiate that and pay lesser of a structure, which all of those things in an environment where we don't have a lot of housing stock. And real estate agents are the people that kind of control the flow of some of that and who sees the house and everything. What does that do to our, you know, people that are on the affordable lending side of things? It just seems like it's just another, once you figure out one barrier, there's another one that pops up somewhere, right? Well,
and exactly, as it's that piece, it's the barriers. Just when you think you've overcome one hurdle, there's something else that gets put up in front of them. You know, the down payment has always been a topic that people, there's that still that misconception in this day and age, 20% down, which is still a shock. And so we've been doing some education that there's options. But then again, you're going to have that, you just overcome one. And then now there's this other barrier that they mentally think, oh my gosh, not only do I have to have a down payment, I have to figure out how to cover the expense of a professional realtor. So it's, yeah, we'll navigate that and work through it as our industry always does. But it's just, yeah, we could use a break there for sure.
I know. I was talking with one of the member benefits advocates earlier this week, and we were talking about like what we know about what's going on in the industry versus what you see out there on TV shows and in, you know, out there with other people talking about it. And you do need to take a step back and think about what they're hearing is what's on the news. You know, they're not seeing it in the same way that we see it. And sometimes it's so distorted. It is like, yeah, that's not what's going on. I mean, it's like, it's hard to remember that especially people that have never bought before ever, like they have a different impression maybe than what we have. So I think education does become very critical in where we're at right now. Out in the news this week, for the first time in history, P&I payments, the average tops $2,500. That is just a shocking amount to me when you look at being an average.
Well, that's, I alluded when we were just chatting before this, the sticker shock piece, that the members, you know, they've gotten used to these low rates. They've seen that. They think mentally, you know, price point wise, hey, how much does that rate really make a difference? But again, we're starting to see it now in the payments that, like you just said, is that average has topped $2,500. And when we're seeing payments, you know, that difference that members are experiencing, we're calling it sticker shock. And so some of them have to take a minute. They get that, they come in like, hey, I'm looking at this house, want to step up, rate's not that big a deal. And then they get that payment, they go, oh wait, that maybe not. And so we're seeing that with our LOs when we ask them kind of the pulse of it. People coming in, they meet, and they think it takes them a couple week or two to kind of get their mind around it, that if I'm going to do this, it's going to be a bigger chunk, it's going to be a higher payment than maybe what I was thinking. But it's really and truly that initial shock that we have to get over on the rate and payment side of the financing.
Well, and the fact that there are other things that kind of play into that now that haven't played into it, I would say, to the same degree that they have in the past, like insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's not in the P&I and principal and interest. And then you add in the kicker on the back end of that. It's like what insurance rates are doing right now is a little insane in some places.
Oh, and that's so kind of, we're fortunate to have an in-house Green State Insurance partner, and they've been kind of really good about educating and sending out communication about what they're seeing on their side and being forthcoming with information. So we're very fortunate to have that partnership. Right. But, you know, Iowa, we experienced an inland hurricane in 2020, a derecho. Huge inland hurricane that really impacted the majority of our housing stock in some way, shape, or form in the vast majority of Eastern Iowa. And now the insurance companies are factoring that into their costs. They took some huge losses. And so we're seeing where we used to have, you know, a certain quote, we knew we were comfortable with that. We're seeing 20-30% increases on our homeowners insurance rates in the state. And that's a big piece of affordability when you have that. And then we have other markets like Florida where you have companies pulling out. You've got these dynamics that really people that are already in a home, then they get a huge shock on their payments when escrow analysis happens, or the people that are trying to buy getting in. Just it's, you know, if it's not one, it's another piece of it. So insurance, there's some pieces that, you know, not that we want to have the government step in, but there's some piece that looking at that, how does that work to make that more feasible for homeowners?
Yeah, it was interesting to me. So I'm in a place where I have an HOA. I'm not into shoveling snow anymore at, you know, where I'm at. Well, I never have been. So anybody that knows me, that's a false statement. I never have been into shoveling snow where I'm at. But one of the things that is calculated into that is, of course, an HOA fee. And that's where this development is like, it's, you don't pay it the first year, you pay it the second year. So it's like an add-on $92 in your housing payment every year. And I've started to see people moving. And I'm wondering if it's like, oh, is that because now, you know, they've got that care into things as well. And I'm sure that's a similar thing, that everything costs more. Yeah. So all of those things related to housing are kind of like inching upward. So
we try to upfront make sure, you know, as we've changed how when we're quoting to our members. So when we are giving that PITI, a lot of times I know lenders would often say, hey, my payment's much better than that other lender, but they would make it up in some of those taxes and insurance quotes. But we're trying to be as upfront with the member as possible, saying, hey, this is really where you should be at. So you're getting coverage that counts, and you're getting the full picture of what this payment's going to be out there. And so it's in making sure that they get the quote started, because again, there's so much now going into insurance. We have to almost become insurance agents and saying, hey, your credit score, because of where you're at, you might see a higher rate. And it's just so many things that our team has to be knowledgeable and current on
That's helpful. A shift for your team as well, for, you know, because that notoriously you really kind of, you know, you haven't, a lot of that has landed on the buyer, and you haven't had to do that as much in the past because you could kind of trust what you were getting. And it just seems like it's a lot more volatile where things are at now. So I like to have this have a word or a phrase that I haven't seen before. And we won't talk about this long, but I did want to mention it to anybody because I did see it on the news in the last couple of days. The IRS has tax brackets, of course. We all know that. We all pay those taxes, those types of things. Well, they've announced a 5.4 bump in income thresholds into each bracket for 2024, which would be your taxes done in 2025. And so they were talking about how that formula works off of the consumer price index, which I guess it makes sense, but I had never really thought about it before. But they were trying to address that to prevent bracket creep, meaning your tax bracket continuing to creep. So it looks like what they've done with that hopefully will help some of those people that maybe haven't had huge increases in their income. It will make them maybe land in a lower tax bracket. So keep posted and looking for that. Those of you out there who don't follow those things, like I typically don't, but I'm happy to catch it because they were talking about it increasing potentially buying power for people because they wouldn't be paying maybe as much in income taxes as they were. So I thought that was a great thing that happened. And then did a little bit of a look back on some things. I was looking at homes in the Midwest and what our weather has been in the Midwest. I'm enjoying it that it's been warmer. Right. Other people, maybe not quite so much, but there's been some impact to housing. And they did quote Iowa State climatologist in there, which I thought was interesting. But I did some looking back on things. And one of the things that was brought up in an article that I had used in 2021, talking almost 3 years ago, right? It was, is the U.S. on the verge of a climate-driven housing costs? Which we talked about this a little bit with the whole insurance thing. And I can't remember what the land hurricane, I can't remember what they're called.
The derecho we had.
Yeah. Derecho, there you go. Didn't remember what they were called, but did a little bit of look back on some of those things. And there's a lot going on in housing related to climate-driven things. So I'm just wondering, you have, you know, in Iowa, you had the derecho that happened that's affected insurance. Have you seen other things out there that are like increasing costs or changing the way that, you know, your loan officers are having to look at things and talk to their borrowers?
Yeah, we definitely, builders are, code is changing from that standpoint, as far as what's required to meet, you know, these changes that are happening for, as far as derechos inland, which hopefully we don't have that again, but anything weather related, we are seeing code changes within our municipalities from that standpoint, which increases the cost to build here. You know, we used to be, like we were talking earlier before we got on the call, it used to be really, really inexpensive to build a home. And now as you add these additional caveats and requirements on, it definitely increases that. From the member side, we've seen quite a few more asking about green mortgages out there, things that they can do. You know, and again, it's one of those TikTok, you see those videos that influencers put out there and it kind of becomes a buzz for a little bit. But green mortgages, energy efficient questions. Hey, if I want to add solar panels or if I want to do something to improve the efficiency of my home, what options are there? And so again, each area has a variety of different, you know, programs and things like that that can help, but we are seeing an increase in asks for those types of mortgages and inquiries are happening.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that is interesting. And, you know, green state in Iowa, things are really green. Green mortgages make sense for you.
I think. It's actually, someone did say that if you're green state, you should have a green mortgage. And so it's definitely a good marketing turn on it, but it does go into that renovations. We're seeing some of those old, I want to say old, not the right way to say it, but products that maybe had fallen out of favor because of, you know, rates and things like that, because of the demand for housing. So you couldn't write a 203K loan on a property because a conventional loan offer would be there. But we are starting to see those requests from members for some of those products to do improvements to homes and make them what they want, make them more energy efficient. And now that the market has slowed a little bit, the demand has changed. Sellers are entertaining those offers now And so we're starting to see a little bit of an uptick in demand out there.
Yeah.
Which is
before, if it wasn't conventional, it just kind of like got pushed to the side, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that totally makes sense. One of the things I saw, and it was posted in an MBA publication of some sort out there. I just love to get your take on it related to your team there. There's a sales pitch out there. I've heard it from a number of different people, but I saw it in an MBA article that was for an 8% mortgage, specific sales pitch out there, buy now, refinance later for free. Apparently there are individuals or companies out there that are saying, if you buy it now, we'll refinance you, you know, within X amount of time if the rate goes down, and we won't charge you for that. Just kind of wondering whether, you know, you've seen things like that, heard things like that in the markets that you support.
We're definitely seeing that. And it's one of those things that, you know, it's date the rate, marry the home is one of the things that our team is saying. But we do have another TMC partner that they actually do it, a credit union up in Michigan. Shout out to Lake Michigan, because they brought that they are doing something like that, where they're giving an incentive that, hey, right now, this is where you're at. Down the road, we will give you a credit to refinance with us when rates do drop. And so we are starting to see that. We're kind of exploring that opportunity as well, that, you know, how do we tie them in to get that business in the future within our system? So we're putting that into our CRM to market that out there. But we are seeing competitors do that. You see that with some of the other large banks and putting out there those offers that, hey, it's the inflation busters and things like that. They're trying to say, come back and we'll get that payment lowered when things change in the market.
Yeah. And are there, I mean, and just share with us a little bit about, are there stipulations and terms? I'm assuming that they can't turn around and do it right away. So you're creating like an early payment, you know, situation that they paid it off so quickly. I would assume that some of those things are probably worked into that type of product or offering as well.
Yeah. It's again, working through the details of exactly what the program would look like and how it's going to be implemented. But again, the biggest thing is tracking, saying that this member was extended this offer, and being able to circle back. And again, as we've talked to others that are doing a program like that, not just going to be something that someone does for just a small group, but you may have to make it a little bit bigger. But again, it's just one of those hooks that gets them in the door and gets them interested in buying now and taking advantage of the market where it's at and not waiting.
Well, buying now, and then when rates do drop, coming back to you versus... Yeah. Potentially seeing it and going somewhere else. Again, it's kind of a good hook back into your system with your person if they would have thought about doing something else down the road. Also in housing, in the last week or so, which I'm always interested in these because being, you know, on the edge of a bigger city, is the White House actually is doing some things to encourage more office to apartment conversions. And I know in the past, I've run across some things where it's like, well, only like office space isn't the easiest thing to convert, to do a conversion into housing. It's expensive typically, and only like 15% of structures built that way, I think was the figure that I saw, like make for a decent conversion. But it does appear that like things have now escalated up the channel and then the White House is looking at things. Just kind of wondering whether, you know, you've had any of those things come up in your markets, what you've seen out there. It's probably a smaller percentage of people that it maybe could impact, but every little baby step, I think, helps in an environment like we're in today. So I'd just kind of love for you to share what you've seen, if you've seen anything, and what you think about that idea.
Yeah, so in Iowa, we don't see as much of this kind of redevelopment, but we are starting to see a little bit. Actually, was on the call with a realtor in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, earlier this week. Actually, just yesterday. Feels like it's Thursday, but just yesterday, and they are converting an office building, part of it. So 50% of it will be converted to condos in downtown Cedar Rapids. They're trying to attract people into the core. It's quieter. And so they were asking about financing because, again, it's going to be a unique, you know, type of product. We're fortunate with Green State to have a portfolio product that would fit being able to finance that and help them through that. And so we're starting to see that. happen. That was one inquiry. And then I had another realtor, again, in a different market, reaching out as well, saying, hey, this is a possible conversion we're looking at. What is that? You know, how do you guys have financing? Can you help us, you know, and working through that? So we are starting to see it. When it's starting in Iowa, that tells me that it's definitely taken off, because usually what happens on the coasts makes its way in to the center for this piece. And so it's good to see that that's happening, because it's a good opportunity. As you saw, the vacancies in commercial space are at an all-time high. And people, you know, we're seeing demand for people to want to be back in the core downtown in those areas that are up and coming. And so it's a good opportunity that if there's a way to make it work, you know.
Yeah. So we want to help. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't check into this, but just for those of you that are on the call, apparently along with this announcement, which I believe it was last week, and it may have been the tail end of the week before, that's part of what they're trying to revive downtown areas. But they released a toolkit, apparently, that was in this article that highlighted 20 federal programs that would help not only like monetarily make converting buildings easier. So if you have people that are looking at those, that may be a good place to send them to see if there's something in there that would help them do that and help on the expense side of things. It does look like one of their focuses, which I think would be a fabulous thing, is converting housing near transit hubs. You know, if you kind of think about that, giving, you know, almost accessible housing, at the same time, if you're putting it at a place where people, you know, may need also accessible transportation, I think is kind of always a good spin for when you're doing things like that as well.
Yeah, and that's this developer actually in Cedar Rapids. It is right next to the ground transportation hub downtown. So it does tie in almost perfectly that they have thought that through, that there's people that a lot of our younger generation is thinking without cars. They're looking at a world that I don't need a vehicle. And so making that connection for them, that's absolutely one of the marketing tactics they're using for this project, is that your home is right next to transportation to get you out to those wherever work may be, which is just ties it in perfectly, Faith.
Yeah, I think that that's number one. That's great to hear. And I know that based on, you know, the young people that I've had around me, it's like, you know, in a family, it used to be that you had at least one car. I mean, you had like two cars, like I had a car, somebody else had a car type of thing. And now it's like they have one share. If they have a car, they have a car. Yeah. They don't have two cars or space to put two cars, even if they wanted to have two cars. And plus, I think that a lot of when you live more in a city, the cost of a car just isn't you can get in a Lyft or Uber if you need one. You can the car versus having the insurance cost on a car. And those, it's one of the places that I think that they've really changed how they live as well. Not related to housing, but interesting fact for sure. In addition to some of those things that we were just talking about, there have been a couple of bills that have been introduced, not in Iowa, but one in New York, that New York is trying to do some interesting things to promote affordable housing in places, up to 20 years of tax abatements for people. So encouraging landlords of multifamily dwellings to renovate their housing units and get housing units up to code and those types of things. So there are some of those things going on as well. And then we'll end on a last note. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, you said that you've seen renovations and things happening. Actually, the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard had just announced earlier this month that they were projecting home updates and maintenance to drop through the end of this year. So, but you're kind of seeing like maybe an opposite thing happening. So just kind of interested, rates, low supply of existing homes. Why do you think that you're seeing that kind of being a shift compared to like what maybe they projected?
Yeah, so we're seeing just people that are looking at a different price point of home instead of taking and trying to find the ideal. they're going the other way and looking for something that they can then turn into their own, their dream home from that standpoint, Faith. And so it's that they're going out and saying, okay, I can afford this, but I'm going to look down at this price point. I can get a renovation type of product out there to make it that ideal, and it can be truly what I want. So it's kind of flipping the script on that during the search process. And so we're starting to see that a little bit more come into play. And then again, just housing stock, that inventory that's it's aging, it needs updates. And so not even going the full dream picture, but just getting those things taken care of to the deferred maintenance that, you know, the number of our members that when a housing repair comes up, it can throw them into that payment shock. They don't have the money to take care of it. If they can get some of those bigger ticket items taken care of before they even purchase the property, so then it kind of future proofs it for them, that they're going to be okay for a while to grow into it without a surprise. It's really that question as well.
It's finding themselves stability in their housing payment, not being caught. A sticker shock thing, because that's another topic of conversation for another day. But consumer savings and what people have saved up for those things has really shifted over the last 6 months. But believe it or not, we're out of time. It is always, we were talking before the call, like everybody kind of knows, it's like, it's always great to talk to you. I feel like I just get on here, we could probably talk for like an hour and a half. Right. I'm not sure that that's always good for both of us, but today it definitely was. Appreciate you, you know, engaging in this with us, and everything that you guys do. Green State is such a great partner within the TMC family. For those of you who haven't interacted with them, you need to grab them at conference and just pick their brains for a while, because they are great partners for all of us. And so we appreciate you. Thank you for doing this with me today. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Likewise, TMC has always been great, and always love meeting the various members when we're at conferences. So always happy to chat offline.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Nathan. Appreciate you. Have a good rest of your week.
You too. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, bye.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.